people don't sit in the front. We got a whole front row over here kind of missing. I'm glad you guys are here. How you doing on your 40-day study? Anybody? Yeah, I gave you a break this year. You only got 28 days of devotional, so you got a break, all right? You know, and I pray that that you really, truly are drawing closer to God. You know, we're getting closer to the Lord's Supper. November 22nd, we're going to share the Lord's Supper. And the whole thing about our study is we want to be prepared to sit at the Lord's table. We want to come prepared to experience God and to let God speak to us. And so last week, what I shared with you kind of followed Jesus. He was kind of staying on the outskirts of Jerusalem in a little town called Bethany. And he would travel into Jerusalem and out of Jerusalem. He rode a donkey. Remember that? He rode a donkey into town one time. And he came in and cleaned the temple one time. And he was going in and out of Jerusalem. And on that final occasion, his last trip into Jerusalem is when he came to share the Passover. And I put it this way, because last week what I want us to remember, if you got your little outline out, is right there, the very first scripture, Luke 22:19. He took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And my point last week was, you come to take the Lord's Supper, and we start with this: examine yourself. Well, we're supposed to remember him. And so I said, that's kind of a problem. But we do need to examine ourselves. So what we're doing with ourselves, we're taking 28 days, 40 days to examine ourselves. So on November 22nd, when we come, all I have to do is think about one thing. Here's what I want you to think about on November 22nd. Jesus Christ. That's all. I want our conversation, our talk, our thoughts, everything focused on Jesus Christ. Because we're going to share the Lord's Supper. That's what we're doing. And so we want to be a part of that. And we kind of followed that journey in and out of Jerusalem, and Jesus comes to the upper room Passover meal. And he's gathered with his disciples in there. All right, there's 12 of them. Anybody on board with that? Anybody name them? Come on. Anybody? Nathaniel and Thomas and Matthew and Andrew and Philip and John and James and James and Simon and Simon. I can name six real easy. James, Simon, Judas. You know? And so you can name them, you can rattle them off real, real fast. And Simon Peter was one of their names. And so he's 12 in that upper room. And they have their meal. They're probably eating lamb. It was the Passover. They're probably having lamb chops. I don't, you know, rack of lamb. I don't know what they're eating, but they're probably eating lamb in that upper room, having various conversations. Anybody ever see the picture that, was it, Leonardo da Vinci painted that picture? Anybody ever see that picture of Leonardo da Vinci? Just give you a little hint, it wasn't like that. Just so you know, he wasn't there. You know, it's not like some court artist went into the courtroom and drew a picture. He wasn't there. Did this, and so it was his perception. They probably weren't sitting at a table. That's probably not what it was like. They were probably kind of lounging on the floor. We'd find it very uncomfortable. Anybody ever go on a picnic and you sit on the ground on a picnic? You know, we went to the beach, took our grandkids to the beach in the summer, and we tuck these blankets, we throw them out on the sand, and we're sitting there sand, getting everywhere, and you're trying to eat a sandwich. You know what's getting in that sandwich on the sand? Sand's getting in the sand, you know? You know, but we're sitting there, leaning on one arm, trying to eat and drink. And I think they would probably think our way is very weird when we're sitting at tables and chairs and dishes. And, you know, but they're sitting on the ground, kind of sitting around, maybe a little raised table, maybe not, on the carpets, laying around, sharing the meal. And as they're eating, they're sharing their dinner that night, various conversations going on, just probably like we do when we're having dinner and family and friends together. But in the midst of that conversation, Jesus speaks up. And in the midst of this conversation, they shared the lamb. They're sharing this upper room experience. He's getting ready to share the Lord's Supper. They haven't broke the bread together yet. They haven't shared the grape juice, the wine yet. He's having this conversation with them. And he pops off and says this: "One of you is going to deny me tonight." And I'm willing to think suddenly just a hush fell over the group. They're all talking amongst one another, all have these little various conversations. Maybe Peter and Matthew over here having a conversation, and James and John over here having a conversation. And all of a sudden Jesus says, "One of you is going to deny me tonight." And I bet just a hush. You know, probably hear a pin drop when he said that. You know, in their minds it starts just kind of, what's going on? Look at what it says. The disciples looked at one another, uncertain whom he spoke. It's like, what's he talking about? We've been with him for 3.5 years. We follow. We've seen the miracles. The blind see. The lame walk. The dead are raised. He feeds 5,000. We've seen him. We heard his teachings. And now he's saying one of us is going to. And they're just kind of. I could just imagine just, you know, pick the jaw off the ground, you know, looking at one another. What's he saying? And then finally the conversation, and it goes like this. And they were very sorrowful and began to say to him, one after another, is it I? See, they begin to look at themselves. They begin to question themselves. They begin to examine themselves. Is it I? And I like this. They didn't look at one another to say, I bet it's Judas, you know. And they didn't know what Judas was up to. They didn't know, I bet it's Peter, you know. And they didn't do that. It's like, I. I find that, you know, I know what I'm doing. Anybody? Nobody needs to tell me what I'm doing. But they begin to question themselves. You know, is it I, Jesus? Is it I, Jesus? And then after that kind of conversation went on probably for a few minutes as it rippled through the room, they go to asking one another. Look at what it says here, Luke 22. And then they began to question one another, which of them it could be who was going to do this. Then they began to talk to one another. Is it you? Is it me? How's this? You know, as I read that, I didn't see them saying, well, it's you. They didn't point fingers at one another. They weren't accusing one another. They were really worried about themselves. They were looking into themselves. And I think that's really what the Lord's Supper, I kind of looked at it this way. We find later on at the Corinthian church, Paul had to tell the church, stop and examine yourself. But here in the upper room, Jesus has basically put a stop and examine yourself. One of you is going to deny me. Silence. Jesus, is it I? Is it me, Jesus? And then Peter, you know, do you think it could be me, Peter? Or, you know, I what's going on, you know, Peter? And, you know, who could this be if it's not me? Who is it? But I didn't see any accusations going around. I just seen this transition going on. But here's what I want you to know. As we come to the Lord's table, we're going to sit at the Lord's table. We must examine we have to look into our own hearts. Look into our lives and question ourselves, is it I, Lord? How's my relationship with God? That's the question for the Lord's Supper. How am I doing with God? How am I doing on this journey as a Christian? You know, how's my faith? Not just talking about, well, am I a sinner? Well, you know what? Yes, I'm a sinner. That question's easy to answer. That's not the answer. You know? But how's that relationship going with Jesus? And so it requires an examination. And so Paul made it real plain here in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 11:27. Here, look at your outline. A man ought to examine himself before he eats the bread and drinks the cup. He didn't say you should. You ought to. You need to do this. It's everyone, every time, needs to examine themselves. We need to question ourselves. We need to test ourselves. Is it I? What is my heart like? And that's what this 28-day study is all about. I'm hoping you're doing this, because really my prayer is that you're going to draw close to God over these next few weeks as we get ready. You know, you got 21 days, and I'm hoping that on day 22 when we set the Lord's Supper that you're closer to God then than you are today. That's my prayer. I want you renewed, and I want you to be refreshed. I want you to be blessed by God's presence. That's my prayer through this study, that when you come to that table, you've heard me say this. I'm going to say it over and over as we get closer to it. I want this to be a day you remember, like your day of salvation, my aunt and uncle's house. The day I was baptized, there was 13 of us. I want this to be a Lord's Supper that sticks in your mind because you have touched the garment of God, and God has touched your heart. But for that to happen, we're going to have to examine ourselves. We're going to have to look into our heart and check into ourselves. And so I put it this way here. If you get your outline, it says, it is a self-examination. I want to drive home this idea that it is a self-examination. Not a superficial glancing over our lives. Not a browsing of our lives to see how we're doing, to see what's going on. But it is a self-examination of our lives. Now, some of you weren't here last week. Some of you were. Last Saturday, what happened to me? Anybody remember what happened to me? I ran down the dark hallway and I plowed into the door of my office and split my head open, right? All right. And I had this big old one-inch gash in my head. And so I run down the hall. It's dark. I've been outside, forgot my phone. Just kind of give you that. I've been outside, forgot my phone. Unlock. I got 98 seconds to get my phone out of my office and get out the front door before the alarm goes off. That was my plan. I didn't make it. Yeah. Smack down into the door. It's my head open. I didn't know that. After I picked myself up off the ground, I realized I got to go turn the alarm off. So I run down the hall, take my little wand thing out, wave it there, turn the alarm off. And you know what I did after I turned the alarm? I laid in the hall. It's like, oh, this hurts. Oh, this hurts. And I'm laying in the hall over here, just, oh, this hurts. You know, how dumb. You know, and then I get up. I say, okay, I got to get up. I got to get going. I get up, and I go to adjust my glasses, and all is blood. You know, and it's like, oh, man, I'm bleeding. You know, I just thought I had a knot on my head. You know, just dummy, got a knot on your head. So then I got to go from there. I go into the men's bathroom, and I look in the mirror, right? And it's like, okay, how bad is it? What does it look like? You know, and I check out it. I had to examine myself. I had to check it out. There's blood coming. It's serious. There's blood. It's not just a knot. There's blood dripping down. You know, so I clean it up a little, go into the office, open the filing cabinet, get some Band-Aids, put a Band-Aid on it, you know. But I had to examine, when there's blood, there's an examination needed, right? I mean, you want to know what's going on. Well, we're coming to the Lord's Supper, and let me tell you something, some blood was shed. Did you get the picture? Jesus shed his blood. We're taking the Lord's Supper, the grape juice that represents his blood. Something serious has happened. Something serious is going on here. Jesus died for our sins. See, we're supposed to remember him. It's a self-examination. And it's something I need to take seriously. God, how's my walk with God? How are we doing, God? You know, are we talking every day? You know, am I reading your word? You know, God, am I worshiping you? You know, how's that relationship? We always worry about the sin, but what about that daily walk? You guys get the picture? You know, most of us are pretty good with sin. You know, I don't think in the church. Now, I have to tell you, my first church, I did have a murderer in my first church. I don't think I have any murderers here. Now, don't raise your hand. We don't want to point you out, but I don't think I have any murderers here. But my first church, you know, I did have a murderer in my first church. You know? I mean, we look at our lives, you know, and it's most of us haven't murdered anybody. Most of us haven't committed adultery. Most of us aren't, well, we're not big liars, okay? You know, we just tell the little ones, right? So we're pretty good, you know? We don't steal, you know, paperclip at office. You know, that's, you know. You know, most of us, you know, I was stealing candy last night. I did the fishing pole booth. And so everyone I gave, I ate one. No, I didn't quite eat one, but I ate a lot. I hid the empty bags back in the garbage bag. Nobody's seen them. You know, I don't think that's stealing. I hope not. You know, but most of us, we're doing pretty good. So, you know, we always that sin, but what about that daily walk with God? What about that daily time with God? A little prayer, a little reading of God's word, you know, just a conversation. And so we need some self-exam, and we need to take it seriously. We need to think about who that is and how that works. And I like it what it says here. It says, let us examine and see what we have done and then return to the Lord. That's what the Lord's Supper is all about. It's about coming to God. It's about experiencing God. I want a little sidebar here. Anybody read magazine articles? These little sidebars. I'm not going to chase a rabbit. This is a sidebar. Make sure you. I want to make sure I'm not kind of chase a rabbit. This is a sidebar. Because this plays in. I want you to go back up to that passage there under it says requires self-examination. I want you to circle a word there. A man ought to examine himself. Why don't you circle himself? Who are we supposed to look at? You know, isn't it much seeing the faults in others and in ourselves? Come on. You know my sin? Like I said, I really enjoyed growing up as a Christian. I became a Christian as a teen in the 70s. And I love some of the sayings I learned. I still love this one. Faults in others I do see, but praise the Lord, there's none in me. You know? I love that statement. Now, it's false. But isn't it so much easier to see what somebody else should be doing? You know, isn't it so much easier? Well, I know what they need to do. I don't know what they're thinking of. Yeah. I would never wear anything like that. I would never say anything like that. I would never do... you guys never say that, right? Nobody ever says that, either. Yeah. See, God didn't call us to examine one another. Okay, we're going to come to the Lord's Supper. Before you walk through the door, the pastor's going to check you out. Does that sound okay? No, it's not okay. We're supposed to examine who? Ourselves. We look at ourselves. I always have this rule for me. You know what? I have enough trouble keeping my own closet clean to worry about somebody else's. I could say it this way. I have a hard enough time keeping my garage clean than worry about somebody else. Some of you are laughing because you know what my garage looks like. Yeah. I got enough trouble taking care of Gary, much less take care of everybody else. So that's kind of a little sidebar here. We're supposed to take care of ourselves. We're supposed to examine ourselves. And Jesus made this really clear. Jesus made the point. Look at what he says here in Matthew chapter 7. This is the Sermon on the Mount. You hypocrites, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you can see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. I like that. You know, get that 2x4 out of your eye, then you get the piece of sawdust out of somebody else's. You know, who's got the problem? The 2x4 or the sawdust? You know, they both have the issue, but I'm going to tell you who's got the bigger problem. You know, we need to just take care of it. We need to examine ourselves. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing. We're going to have the Lord's table here. Don't look around. Well, you know, they shouldn't be taking the Lord's Supper. It's none of your business. It's your business to take care of yourself, to see your life, to see what's going on in yours. It's a matter of faith. It's a testing of our faith. So I'm going to ask you this way. I'm going to have this little... Know yourself. Does that sound okay? Does that know yourself? Just look at yourself. Do you know yourself? Do you really? So that's the first thing. We're going to examine ourselves. It's going to take a self-examination. It's me, myself, and I that I need to look at. The second one I put down here is this. It sure helps to have God's help. All right. If I'm going to examine myself, it sure helps to have God help me. All right. It's interesting to me that here's these disciples, and the first words out of their mouth after the silence was broken was, "Is it I, God? Is it I, God?" I think that's a good thing for us. If we're going to get ourselves prepared to sit with Jesus, maybe the question that we should go to is to God and say, "Is it I, God? How am I doing with you, God? Is there some things in my life that need working on, God? Is there some areas in my life that I need to change? Is there some transformation that needs to take place in me, God? God, is it I? Is it I? I think we need to go to God and get God's, you know, we need some outside assistance. You know, when I went, after I got off the floor and I'm walking down the hall, I didn't know I was bleeding until I was walking down the hall. You know, the next day when I came, just to give you an idea, Sunday morning, because that happened Saturday night, Sunday morning when I came in, I walked down the hall and looked on the ground to see if I had left any blood there. Because I didn't know I was bleeding, you know. But when I went and looked in the mirror, my question was this. Do I want to go to the doctor? Now, you know what I'm saying? It's like, am I going to need stitches? Do I want to go to the... Now, I didn't ask, do I need to go to the doctor, okay? I don't care what it looked like. Do I want to go to the doctor? No, I don't want to go to the doctor. You know? Do I need to go to... Maybe I need to go, but I don't want to go. You ever feel like that with God? Yeah, I know I need to go to God, but I really don't want to go because I know what he's going to say. Anybody ever have that one besides me? Yeah, you wrestle with that. You know, it's like, God, how are we doing? I really don't want to talk to you about this, but I know I need to talk to you about this. And you wrestle with those kind of things? You know, I kind of see this. We need to understand it's okay to go to God. As a matter of fact, God gave us somebody to help us. It's the Holy Spirit. Look at what it says here, John 16:8. And when he comes, he being the Holy Spirit, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. He's going to help us walk by faith. That's what the Holy Spirit's going to do. He's going to help us walk by faith. He's given us the Holy Spirit to help us, to lead us along the path. You know, let me ask you this question. Do you ever have blind spots in your life? Anybody ever drive a car with a blind spot in it? We rented a car to go down to the convention this year. It was really fun. I'm driving down the freeway, and I look in the mirror, and all of a sudden, I turn my blinker on, and in my mirror, I got this little flashing car in my mirror. I found out this car I was driving that if I turn my blinker on and there's a car in the blind spot, the car tells me in the mirror, don't change lanes, you're going to run somebody over. It was I'm sinister. You know, here's this car now. You can drive a car now, and it's going to tell you, don't change lanes. It's like, oh, there's a car there. You turn your blinker on, there's no car there. It just lights up. If there's a car there, it starts flashing. I tried that. You're passing somebody, and it's like, blink, 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 blink. Oh, there's a car there. Yeah. We need that in our lives. The Holy Spirit is kind of like blinking at us. The Holy Spirit's kind of like, hey, pay attention to this. We have blind spots in our lives. Am I right? Come on. You know, we have places we want to ignore. Anybody got a place you want to ignore in your life? Yeah, I just want to ignore that part. We just won't go there right. Anybody? We won't go there right now. You know, we'll just leave that one alone right now. Let's go over here. We got these blind spots. How about this? I think we need God's help, because you know what? We're really good at deceiving ourselves. Anybody? You know what? I'm not that bad. You know, I haven't murdered anybody yet. Maybe wanted to. Haven't done that. You know, I haven't committed adultery. I make sure I got guardrails in my life. Love my wife, and you know, I tell you guys, you got to have guardrails. Women, you got to have these guardrails. You know mine. No, I'm not going to steal. I'll eat the candy that I'm not going to steal. You know, we do. You know, but what about my attitude? I've been struggling with my attitude lately. I even had an attitude blow up and go. Anybody? Yeah, well, just. We have these blind, and we just see, well, I'm not that bad. I'm doing pretty good. You know what? I'm doing pretty good. Pretty good's not good enough. God says, be ye holy for I'm holy. Whoa. But if, you know, if I'm going to compare myself to somebody, I'm going to compare myself to people who are worse off than me, right? We're good at deceiving ourselves. I'm okay, you know, it's not that bad. I haven't, you know, and we're pretty good at deceiving ourselves. We need to step back, because even Satan gets involved in that. You know, Satan likes to deceive us and delusion us and just, oh, you're okay, it's not that bad. Everybody's doing it now. Come on, you know, it's no big deal. You know, nobody's paying attention. Nobody will ever know. Satan's pretty good at that, isn't he? And so we need to back up and let God help us. God, help me. So I want to challenge you during these next few days as you build towards the Lord's Supper. Ask God to help me. Maybe this little prayer. I like what David wrote here in this prayer. Look at what it says. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Isn't that a nice prayer? Get ready for the Lord's Supper. God, you know, God, is there some things I need to work on? Well, my thing is, how long's the list for me? I don't know about you guys, but it's how big's that list going to be? You know, God, I'll take the top five, God. That's all I can handle right now. You know? And God, examine me, look into me. So it's a self-examination. Now, I'm sure none of you have ever prayed this. Kind of another little sidebar here. God, would you tell so-and-so how messed up they are? Anybody ever do that? Don't. You don't need, you ever feel like, I wish so-and-so would realize what they're doing. Aren't they thinking? You guys never say things like that, right? Come on. We don't talk like that. We need to ask God, search me. I like that, search me. Maybe you want to circle the me again. Himself, me. You know, God, search my wife. She needs to get straight. Guys, you never pray that. My wife's in the lobby. She'll look in a minute, I'm sure. Just so you know, literally, I prayed for my wife, and I prayed blessings on her this morning. Just let you know. I hope you guys do the same thing. Ladies, pray for your husbands, too. Yeah, we need to. But we got to search me, God. Look at me, God. And so here, last time I said, know yourself. This time I want to say, God knows us. Right? God knows you. Know yourself, and God knows you. Now, the last point I want to look at is this. It may be necessary to involve others. It may be necessary to involve others. Examine myself. get God's help, and then sometimes I might need to involve others. I whacked myself on the head. Now, I knew when I got home, what was my wife going to ask me? Can I see it? Take the Band-Aid off, right? Do you think I wanted to take the Band-Aid off? I don't want her looking at it. You know, none of her business. It's my head. You know? But sometimes we need to get others. When I came down here Sunday morning, Stephen is a nurse. Guess what Stephen wanted to do? He wanted to look at it. Everybody wanted to look at it. What'd the dumb pastor do now? You know? But we don't want people to look at it. You know, God, I don't want anybody to know. You know, sometimes we got to get others, right? Come on. Sometimes we need somebody to help us. Sometimes we need some people to encourage us. You know, I got to do this, and I've got to go apologize to so-and-so. Can you pray for me as I go? Anybody? Is that okay? You know, sometimes we got to get some others involved in this journey. We got to get others helping us as we go through this, and it's going to be necessary. Those blind spots that somebody else can see in our lives. You know what I say as a pastor here, and I say this all the time, and I'm going to say it all the time as long as I'm here. You need three in your life. You need a church in your life that's going to encourage you and walk with you and be with you. You need a small group in your life, that 8 to 10 people that you can walk with and share your life and be open with. And then you need that one person who can tell you the hard things. And they've earned that because you know they love you and they care and they want what's best for you. I've always told you, you know, here's my thing. Don't think you can correct anybody unless you're their friend and want the best for them. Because here's the thing. If you're trying to correct them, that's the wrong reason. If you're trying to help them, that's the right reason. Get it? We have no business correcting one another. It's not my job. You know what? I'm going to tell you, the Holy Spirit does a better job than I. I'll always like this one. Now, I don't smoke. If you smoke, excuse me, all right? But I don't smoke. But on the side of that pack of cigarettes, in 1960-something, they wrote a little phrase on there. Anybody? Don't use these things because they're going to cause cancer, right? We've been warning people to make, don't use these things to 1960. What is it? 50 years later? Has it stopped anybody? If it has, very few. I mean, I don't know why young people smoke. I just don't get it. It's maybe my stupidity. I just don't. It's like cancer sticks. Yeah? We can't convict anybody, can we? But God can. I leave that in God's hand. You know, as a pastor, I'm going to tell you, a pastor, I pray for you guys. Now, I don't point out sins to God because I know a lot about everybody, pretty much, you know, but it's not my business. But if you guys got things, I just pray that God will walk with you and bless you and be with you. And if you got things you got to get straight, that's between you and God. And I'm going to tell you something. God can do it a lot better than a preacher up here preaching at you, waking his finger. You're going to walk out here and say, who cares? But God lays something on your heart, whoa, that's another thing coming. But we need one another. Sometimes we need somebody to come alongside of us and help us. During these next few days, just to kind of give you a heads up, during the last 2 weeks of this study, starting with like 14 and going through 28, you're going to be dealing with, you know, have I offended anybody? Has anybody offended me? Is there some things I need to get straight in my relationships? You're going to be walking through that. Sometimes we've got to get involved with others. And sometimes we're going to have to be a part of that and to see that happen. And so I want to see that. This passage here, and I really enjoyed it, and I've heard a paraphrase, but let me read it first. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. It's saying you need some encouragement sometime. Find somebody to walk with you. Find somebody to support you. But I like what it says here. I heard somebody say this. It goes like this. Confess to God for forgiveness. Confess to someone for healing. I like that. You know, sometimes we need healing. We got to talk to somebody before we can let go of it. And before we can find healing in it. And I like that phrase. Confess to God for forgiveness. Confess to someone else for healing. And I like that thought. So here's my challenge. November 22nd, Lord's Table. Come to remember him. But before that day, examine ourselves. Look into our hearts, our lives, mine, yours, no one else's. J. just ours and mine, and see what God has done. Step back and look. Look into the mirror, just like I looked in for my head. Look into the mirror, your mirror of your life. And see what's there and see what God says. Let me tell you something. I'll just give you a hint right now. You know, if you look into the mirror of your life, you're going to say this. Man, I fall short. Anybody? Let me tell you something. All have fallen short in sin. Isn't that true? Some of you guys have verses, right? From Awana. Come on, Awana, guys. For all have sinned and fallen short. Anybody with Awana there know that one? Yeah. How about this? How about this one? How about this other one that goes like this? You know, yes, I've fallen short. Yes, I'm not there. But you know what? While I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. Anybody? See, we don't find ourselves worthy to sit at the table. So here's my challenge for you as we come to the table and we come back. I want you to go back to the room with me. And those 12 guys in that upper room. Those 12 guys that Jesus said, one of you are going to betray me. And we look at these guys and we call them saints, right? We call them saints. They're spiritual leaders. We look back over history and we see these bigger than life individuals. Come on, am I right? That's how we see these guys, you know, Paul and Peter, James and John and Matthew. We see these bigger than life guys. I want you to think about it. Here's Jesus telling these guys, hey, you're going to betray me. And I started looking at their lives and thinking about what was going on. Let's see. Matthew was a tax collector, probably the most despised guy in his time of life. Judas was probably stealing. He called Peter Satan one time when he didn't want to do God's will. They called James and John sons of thunder, and I don't think they got that because they were nice guys. You know? They argued over who's going to get what seats. They sent their mama in to get number one and number two in pecking order. Yeah. These are spiritual saints that are sitting at the table of the Lord. Get the picture? And their future wasn't much better. You know, think about this. Their future wasn't much better. They're going to walk out of this place after sharing the Lord's Supper. They're going to go into this Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus says, hey, guys, you sit here and you pray, go over here and pray. And he comes back and what are they doing? They're sleeping. They're messed up. While he's praying, they come to arrest him and they're all there. And what do? Well, we're here to fight with you, Jesus. They hit the road. They run. They disappear. When he needs them the most, they've bailed on him. And he knows it. He's at the table to betray me. He knows all of that. These guys are messed up. Peter followed. Peter's got the boldness. I'm going to follow. I'm courageous. I'm Peter. This little girl. You're one of them. I ain't one of them. He couldn't even send him to a little girl. These guys were messed up. And yet they sat at the table of the Lord because of God's grace. See, we don't come to the table because we're worthy to the table because he died for us. Get it? See, we come, suppose you feel you're not worthy. Well, I got news for you. You're not. November 22nd is going to be a great time. But I'm not come because I'm worthy. I'm come because I have faith in a God who loves me, who died on the cross for me. I'm coming to be with him in his presence at his table. Because, not because of me. See, I am not worthy that he died. It's his blood that was shed for me. See, suppose you feel you're not worthy. You come. The disciples were messed up. We're messed up. But God, I'm going to walk with you the rest of my life. I'm in it for the long haul. There's going to be up days. There's going to be down days. There's going to be good times. There's going to be bad times. But God, I'm with you. Goes with my favorite song, ready to follow Jesus. Though no one goes with me, I'm following Jesus. I am going with him. I'm sold out. This is it. This is where I'm going. I'm with Jesus. I want to challenge you in these next 40 days to prepare. Not because you're worthy, but because he is worthy of our praise and our honor. If you've never made that, suppose you're reading these lessons and you're doing this and you realize, you know what, I've never crossed that line. I've never made Jesus my life. Yeah, I've always believed in God. I've always believed in God. I always believed the Bible was God's word. Never doubted that in my life. That was always the truth for me. But not until I was 17 years old when my cousin said, you know what, you need to make it personal. And I say it this way in this church over and over again. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come into my life and take control. See, I want to challenge you. Maybe you've never crossed that line. Maybe you're not a Christian. And you need to do that before November 10th so you can share the Lord's Supper. So you'll have something to remember. You might need to make that decision. I put some passages here like this. Look at what it says. For by grace have you been saved through faith, and this is not of yourself, not of your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. I am saved by grace through faith. Have you crossed that invisible line? God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Cross that line before November 22nd. Cross that day. God, I want to do what things your way. I'm tired of doing them mine. Turn my life and take control. If you're a Christian, look at this next one. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It's His grace. I come to thee because of His grace, not because I've done good and, oh man, I'm a preacher. Yeah, I'm more of a creature than I am a preacher. Okay? But God's grace, His mercy. I come because of His grace and mercy. Because here's what I want. I really want us to have a celebration. I put it this way. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. That's what I want our Lord's Supper to be. So you got 22 days now to get ready. You got 22 days to prepare yourselves. It's me. It's me, Lord. Self-examination. God, give me some help. Do I need to get anybody else involved? God, it's just me. And if I have somebody else, God, help me. So when I come, I can rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Will you have that joy on November 22nd? Will you prepare? I encourage you. If you don't have a book, pick up a book. Take one with you. You can catch up, or my thing is just start tomorrow with day 15. Start tomorrow with day 15 and just start reading if you haven't done it yet. Just start there. You can catch up as you go on if you feel like it, but just get started. But I want us to have a great time on November 22nd. At the bottom it says, you're His invited guest. Come, remember, receive. Will you plan now to be a part of something special? Renewed, refreshed, and blessed by His presence. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You for Your words and Your truths. That You are a gracious and merciful God. That it's not our worth, but it's Your love that makes it so. You know, our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, and maybe there's some self-worth issues in your life. Maybe you're just battling it, and you just don't feel like, you know what? I just don't feel worthy. You want me to pray for you? Would you just shoot your hand up? Thank you. I see that. Thank you. I see those hands. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. I see that. Lord, You've seen some hands that were raised for those who struggle, Lord, in the battles of life. That Satan deceives, that Satan drags down, that Satan uses to keep them from the joy of the Lord and Thy salvation. Lord, we don't come because we're worthy. We come because Jesus was worthy enough to die for us. Lord, I ask You to touch their hearts. Let the blood of Christ cover them, Lord, in a special way. Wherever that pain is, wherever that hurt is, wherever that battle is, Lord, wherever they're being faced with the difficulties, Lord, that Your blood, the blood of Your Son, will cover that. That they come not because they are worthy, but because You are worthy. And Your blood has covered, Lord. Encourage them, strengthen them, inspire them. Because Your grace and Your mercy is enough. In Jesus' name, amen.